Okay, go ahead, Rabbi Belial, where recording has begun.
Good evening or late afternoon to everyone. Welcome to our meeting. It's according to my clock 5:33. And I'd like us to begin by calling the meeting to order and taking roll, please.
Thank you, Rabbi Belial. As a reminder, our meeting is being recorded, and please state your name before speaking. Good evening, everyone. My name is Barbara Torres. Today is Thursday, May 14th. Again, it's 5:34 now, and we're going to get started with our regular board meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. With that, I will go ahead and take roll. Rabbi Belial?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Present.
Dr. Dickbusch? Dr. Dickbusch?
Hey, yes, this is Sally from San Diego.
Thank you. We're doing roll call. Ms. Gonzalez?
Present.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Mr. Orzal?
Here.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
I want to thank our board members. We have our full set of board members on the line. Much appreciated. Next, we have our approval of the agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would one of our board members like to move that motion?
I'll move the motion.
I'll take Ms. Gonzalez. I'll take Mr. Orzov as second. Thank you both. And I'll take votes for the approval of the agenda. Rabbi Belial?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbusch?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Rubias?
Yes.
Sir Orizov?
Yes.
Mohamedov?
I abstain. I was a public member at that board meeting.
This is the approval of the agenda, today's agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, next we have our public comments. We did not have any public speaker forms completed, but do we have any member of the public who would like to give a public comment? Again, it is limited to 3 minutes per person. Unless you need translation, that is 6 minutes. Any public comments? Okay, thank you. We have announcements from our CEO and Superintendent, Mr. Robalcaba. Do you have any announcements?
Yes, good evening, board members. Hopefully everyone is well. So I did want to give a quick update. Obviously a lot of things are happening at the school site. The updates right now just focus on all the schools that do offer, you know, whether it be a middle school program or elementary program or high school program are planning some virtual graduations. So we're working with them obviously to celebrate our students and all their successes, especially our 12th graders. So each school has been working with the students and the families to make sure that these virtual graduations, are exemplified some of the great work. And I know it's difficult because our kids obviously have worked very hard and, we are committed to having brick and mortar graduations once the safe at home orders are lifted, whether that be in February of 2021 or later. We definitely still want to do that for our graduates, but right now there's quite a bit around virtual graduation, so we'll keep you posted and also so you could attend some of these graduations for our students. And then summer school conversation is also started. There's been quite a bit of talk about when summer school will begin and what will be offered during summer school. So we'll have more details on that as we meet over the course of the next couple of weeks, because quite a bit, as all of you know, there's a lot of learning loss happening, obviously, since we've closed our schools. But we've obviously we've done our best to try to provide a quality distance learning program. But we know that we are going to have to provide quite a bit of supports for our kiddos to catch up. The other thing is, you have heard quite a bit, and we also did send out a message to all of our stakeholders about reopening up our schools in the fall. And obviously we're doing that in consultation with the California Department of Public Health, the California Department of Education, and the respective counties, LA, San Diego, and OC, to do that in a way that is done safely, and it's done with you know, student and stakeholder safety in mind. So for that, August 18th for our schools in LA County, whether that's virtual or in person, and then San Diego, we're looking at the date that we approved as a team, which was August 31st, and then Santa Ana Unified, our MSA Santa Ana school start at the same time as Santa Ana Unified, which is August 10th. So we did send out those messages, but we also added the caveat that we are still monitoring the situation and we would inform our stakeholders. For that, I'll just turn it over to Ardinch. He is spearheading our reopening task force, and he's done quite a bit of work with multiple members of our school community, and I would like for him to give an update.
Yes, Ardinch. Thank you, Alfred. Good evening, board members. This is Ardinch Ajar, Chief Academic Officer. Sir, yeah, with the direction of Alfred and team, we started our task force for reopening Magnolia Public Schools campuses. The campuses are closed, but we are continuing our education, high quality instruction through distance learning. In the meantime, we have been following the developments nationwide and statewide, we formed the task force to guide the process, and specifically with the goal of reopening the school campuses with high quality in-person education or blended or hybrid, you know, depending on the safety and then protection of all in mind. And with the guidance that we're getting from the state and county levels. So the task force is consisting of currently with the school teams. We have plans to open it up for additional team members once we have the skeleton ready, that including board members and the parents, and the teachers and the community at large, so we can guide the process, come up with an action plan with guides and recommendations and policies and to-do lists and checklists, not just for reopening, but also keeping up with the new normalcy. Because we know we need to live with this pandemic quite for a while. So far we have done two meetings, and we meet Tuesdays at 11:30. We are following not only statewide, nationwide, and in cases of worldwide reopening plans, because we're all on this together. We have examples that are opening, that schools are reopening with practices. So we're closely monitoring that. We're also following up with the agency guides available in terms of that. San Diego County Office of Education came up with detailed assumptions and recommendations. Recently, last week, Los Angeles County Office of Education came up with a framework, and we're following up with the, being on stage two, early stage two, the reopening of businesses and how they reopen with what guidelines and practices. So we make sense of those. As applied to opening our education institutions. So in front of us, we have quite challenges and that you know, in terms of the safety and the protection and you know maintaining the instructional delivery methods, you know, which way to decide. We have a number of stakeholders, students, teachers, parents, you know, how we are going to make sure they all feel, you know, comfortable, and we have the protocols and policies in place. We have plans to support our people in terms of their socio-emotional well-being, as well as their you know, health and safety. You know, we're figuring out the operational aspects of reopening, in addition to budget implications. So we have quite a few list of concerns, problems, issues to tackle, and we're we decided to tackle this within the framework that LACO provided. We are you know, we've decided we started the work, but the work is quite a long process, and hopefully with the people involved and the guidance we're getting from the agencies and state, we'll be able to come up with a good reopening plans. With that, I'm turning it back to Alfredo.
Yes, thank you, Erdinch. That concludes our update. We just wanted to give you briefly just what we're doing in terms of planning, and obviously distance learning is alive and well, and a lot of great things are happening, and our authorizers are now also had a chance to now engage with our schools and be able to participate not only in the staff meetings but some of the lessons that are being taught, so that's also good to see. And obviously we know that we'll have to submit some compliance related documents, you know, as an organization in order for us to comply with some of these requirements by our authorizers. So we will definitely be bringing that to you, but it's going well. So just wanted to give you that update.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you, is it feasible or are you in a good idea to have some kind of a town hall meeting on one of the streaming services, just as a way of marking these graduations, or, you know, to segment it in such a way that is that the plan? Is that what you're going to do for the graduates? I'm just wanting to hear a little more about that.
Yeah, I'll start off and then I'll turn it over to Erdinch. So I think right now there's many ideas, but we're also hearing quite a bit. So let's take, for instance, our LA schools. We just received a notification on behalf of LACO and also Dr. Barbara Ferrer from the Department of Public Health LA, and they said that they definitely are recommending that we don't have any drive-through graduations where students step off and then get the diploma and then get back on and the cars keep moving. So that is not an option anymore, drive-through graduations. And they're pushing for virtual. And virtual right now is through Zoom or another mechanism, and obviously that's something that has been discussed, you know, and you know, how do we do that in a way that gives everyone an opportunity to celebrate our close to 300 seniors. We've heard some ideas around doing drive-throughs through the, you know, some of our classes, our senior classes are 30 to 35, so we've heard some schools talk about doing drive-throughs through the homes, going to the homes of the different seniors. So there's been a lot of great ideas, and I think a lot of them are still being talked about. But yeah, whatever ideas come the way of the board, definitely share with us. But yeah, once we get some finality to it, we'll be able to share. Or Dinch, anything you want to add to that?
No, that's correct. So we have a mixed plans that some of the plans are civil developed with the seniors graduating classes and the parents. So, you know, again, as you said, we have some virtual, you know, graduations planned, you know, some, you know, drop off, you know, visiting the school, the families, and you know, on the curbside, you know, to the extent possible with physical distancing, handing off the diplomas. So, you know, at this point, we want to give the diplomas to the students. Some of our teams, they do want to hold on and waiting for a physical in-person, you know, celebration, you know, coming together. That type of plans are also in place for specific schools. Yes, so, you know, it's quite, you know, different from each school and each grade level, because we have fifth graders, eighth graders, and as well as high schools graduating from our schools.
Yeah, and I would add, yeah, go ahead, Sandra.
So I kind of gave an idea to Mr. Gardner. I said, what about a drive-in graduation? So I told him I would talk to my pastor to see if we can borrow his empty lot and basically put cars 6 feet apart from each other and have all the guests inside the cars and not be able to get out and just be per student and their family. So no other student but one and their family, immediate family or whoever they want to invite, as long as they fit in the parking lot. And then have the big projector there so that they can see through the windshield, but obviously can't get out. And just have everybody wear their masks and have the only one out would be the student and one teacher, or if the teachers want to do it, but just be 6 feet apart from each other and obviously no touching, no hugs, no, you know, that's what I came up with too.
No, thank you, Sandra. I think all ideas, what we're telling the schools is all ideas that come to you, definitely follow up with the LA County Department of Public Health and see if that constitutes a gathering, because if it does, that would be prohibited. But I think, you know, we're taking all those steps to try to give as many options and as many ideas as we get, you know, the better. So thank you for that. And I would just end it on this point, just to let the board that we were able to book a congressman for one of our graduations. So we'll give you more details. Don't want to say who it is, it's a surprise, but one of our schools was able to get a congressperson to give the commencement speech. So we will let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Next, we have our approval of minutes. So we have two set of minutes. We're going to take the votes separately because our board membership did change from one meeting to the next. So first is approval of the minutes from the regular board meeting from April 23rd, 2020. Do we have a motion for this?
I make the motion. This is Cesar.
Thank you, Mr. Rosa. Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. I'll take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Rapano?
Yes.
Jake Fudge?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Rubias?
Can I still vote even though I wasn't in those meetings?
You can, or you can abstain.
I'll abstain because I don't know what was said on those meetings.
Okay, Mr. Orzal?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
I abstain. I was attending as a public.
Okay, thank you. So the motion carries. We have five yes and two abstentions. Next, we have minutes from the May 1st special board meeting. Do we have a board member who'd like to make the motion for May 1st, 2020 special board meeting minutes?
I'll make the motion. It's Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez.
Second.
I second.
I'll take Rabbi Beliak's second. Thank you. Voting now, Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Diapanel?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Abstain.
Mr. Orza?
Yes.
Mohamedov?
Abstain.
Okay, thank you. So again, we have 5 yes, 2 abstentions. Minutes have been approved. Next, we have our closed session. Rabbi Belia, can you please announce the closed session items?
Good evening, everyone. This is Chaim Beliak. We are now going to go into closed session and we'll report out the results of our meeting. I for one, would appreciate getting a reminder of the codes. Thank you.
The items are public employment of CEO and superintendent and conference with legal counsel, two matters under potential litigation. The board members, now you will call into closed session and we will be out here in open session whenever you're ready to report out. Thank you.
So I'd like to thank everybody that participated in our closed session, and we have communicated with the staff and asked them to forward our intentions and discussions. And now we're back in open session, and we have some action items that we're going to look at.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. So action items, first item is item 3A, approval of resolution regarding the withdrawal of MSA 6 charter petition material revision, and our CEO, Mr. Rubalcaba, will present this item.
All right, good evening, board members and community. As all of you know, we've been working hand in hand with our school communities at MSA 6 and 4, the board and staff, to ensure that we obviously brought forward a merger resolution to our community, because we identified, and we've been identifying for the last couple of years, that the best way for us to move forward with our community and our plans in West LA is to merge our schools. So we started this again in December, and we had our board, adopt quite a bit of resolutions, and we were working with LAUSD, the Charter School Division. And all this was scheduled to happen formally on March 24th. We were supposed to have a public hearing on the merger of MSA 6 taking on MSA 4's high school program. And then also on April 28th, the LAUSD Board of Directors was going to approve this resolution. But due to the pandemic, obviously that threw all of our lives upside down, and we've been learning how to manage and doing it well. So now, because of the pandemic, the timeline for LAUSD did get pushed back for the public hearing and also for the final board of directors approval. So when it was communicated to me that these timelines would get pushed back, there wasn't any certainty that the resolution would get passed this year. And if that was the case for us, obviously knowing that we have to move quickly and we have to inform our families, we knew that we had to withdraw. So that has already been done because of the fact that we did have a deadline of May 1st to notify the district because of Prop 39 offers that were made, and those offers did impact MSA 4 and 6. So we did move and inform the district of that. And with that information, also the Prop 39 office. And again, this resolution before you is just to formalize that, because for us, it's important to document every step that we take in this process. And withdrawing our material revision is a part of that transparency, and also to tell our families that we are still committed to bringing this material revision back to the Board of Directors, LAUSD Board of Directors, in August, so then we could continue with this merger. So before you, you have this formal resolution that basically, you know, continues our conversation with MSA4 and documents our efforts when it comes to our material revision. Thank you.
Before the board discusses, are there any public comments on item 3A? Okay, go ahead, board members.
Are there any comments?
Okay, if there are no comments, the motion is to approve the resolution that authorizes the MPS CEO and Superintendent Alfredo Rubalcaba to withdraw the MSA6 material revision submission from LAUSD's consideration. Would someone like to move that motion?
Yes. Rabbi Chaim.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Hapano?
Yes.
Dudikbash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yeah.
Mr. Orozov?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. Next, we have item 3B, approval. I hear an echo. Someone might have me on twice. 2020-2021 MPS Board and Committee Meetings Calendar and Updated Committee Membership. And again, Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and Superintendent, will present.
Yes, Alfredo again. So before you, I'll turn it over to Barbara to go over the details. But before you, we have our board and committee calendar that is comprised of 162 meetings for next year. No, just kidding. The different meetings that we'll have throughout the year, I'll turn it over to Barbara to give the details.
Thank you. So this is Barbara. We are sticking to one meeting every second Thursday of the month per our bylaws. The only two that are a bit different are the ones that fall near the January and April breaks, which is winter and spring break. You'll see those specific dates on the calendar. We also have two board retreats. These are just for you to approve calendars, but the meetings can change if anything unforeseen comes up. We are planning for all the closures to end by the time this calendar takes effect. So for now, we have them set at the school sites and the home office. We've limited our committee meetings just for essential meetings. So we did them based on items that come up throughout the year that need approval. And you'll see that those meetings have been reduced to just two per quarter. But again, if any committee meeting is needed more than what's on here, we can make those changes accordingly. That's it. Any comments from the board, from our public? Do our board members have any questions?
I did not get a chance to check. I assume that we're not meeting at any of the Jewish high holidays in this fall. Is that right?
I can double check, but I made sure it complied with our calendars that we already have in place. So it shouldn't fall on any, but I will double check.
Thank you. I should have done that. I just didn't have a chance to do it. Thank you.
And then also, this is Covarrubias. I wanted to find out, in case that we're still in quarantine when it comes down to board meeting, I'm sorry, the retreats, would it work the same way we do our board meetings now?
They would, but we can also postpone the dates because board retreats are more effective in person. Can go as they're not until, I think the first one is in October, so hopefully the closures are up by then, but we can change them.
Barbara, could you do a webinar?
Yeah, we can do that too if the board decides that
that's best. Zoom, because with the Zoom, I mean, you see everybody.
Yes, we can definitely do that. Any other questions? Yes.
I would just want to mention, thank you, Barbara. I just want to mention that since we are, because of SB 26, holding all of our meetings in LA County, we will require Mr. McCann to come as often as he could to LA to join us, so we could then have four people in person from our board members, because Mr. Orozov and Mr. Dickfoss and Mr. Yapanel do live a far out, although they do come frequently. Whenever we do have meetings, it would be nice to have four members in LA. So just wanted to give that as an
as a gift. No problem, Alfredo. It will be a pleasure to meet you all. No worries. I am scheduling accordingly.
Thank you,
Lucas. This is Covarrubias again. Can three people be in person?
It has to be a majority, which is 4 out of 7.
Okay.
But it has to be within LA County, so not necessarily where the meeting is taking place, but in any of our LA schools or our home office.
So then if I decide to do it from MSC 2 or MSC 1, I'm fine.
You can, however, in our oversight reports that we've received from our authorizers, they do recommend for more people, more board members to attend in person, since they have noticed that we have a lot of board members joining teleconference. So it is a recommendation. It's not part of our bylaws, but it is a recommendation.
But how what's the percentage of meetings that we would have to all four attend in person?
Well, I could, yeah, I think we're allowed to have flexibility, Mrs. Covarrubias. I do think if for some reason only three people could be in person from LA, then and the fourth person did call from the jurisdiction of LA, I think we would be fine. But I could double check with our authorizers. As Barbara said, it's a recommendation. It's something that they're recommending for us to do, but if something does come up and we're not able to have four people within LA, then I think we should be okay.
Well, I'm asking just because I'm one of those people that have to be in person, and due to COVID, I do have 3 autoimmune conditions, and it's very hard to figure out how I'm gonna work transportation now. So can we probably look into that to see, because of the COVID, it might be different?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we're in a new way of doing things. So I will check with the authorizer, and I'm pretty sure he'll be okay.
Okay,
thank you. Get back to the team.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes. This is Rabbi Chaim. I just want to raise again that we are one of the few organizations. I think there's only one other that has schools outside of one county. So we have a school in San Diego County, we have another school in Orange County. And as everybody on our board is aware, we're now forbidden from meeting in those two counties, San Diego and Orange County. And I know there's so many problems in the world, but I somehow this one continues to trouble me, that that we might choose to meet more in LA County is logical, but that we would be forbidden from meeting in Orange County or in San Diego does not make sense. And I think we need to have a formal inquiry and if necessary, some kind of adjudication. I would suggest that if we have a Congress, a state legislator who would go to the legislative council that they have to ask a formal question about whether it is legal to forbid a board to meet in the way that we've been forbidden to do, that we should get some opinions about that. I see this as something that's essential. We should go to San Diego County. We should go to Orange County.
Yes, noted, Rabbi. Thank you for that. And I will continue to engage with CCSA and see what we can do.
This can't be handled by, I'm sorry, this can't be handled by our relationship with the charter schools. This has to be handled with them and the interlegislative investigation. There's a body that invests, that is a legal body that advises both the state senate and the state assembly about legal matters. And we need to go to somebody who's going to say, let's get a lawyer to look at this and hopefully opine on that. You know, constitutionally, it just doesn't seem fair. I know you can pass a law to say that today is Wednesday, but it doesn't make it Wednesday.
Okay, then I'll work with Patrick on something, and I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, the motion is to approve the calendar for 2020-21 regular MPS board meetings and regular MPS board committee meetings. Do we have a board member who'd like to move?
So we'll
make the motion. This is Sarah.
I'll take Rabbi Beliak and I'll take Mr. Orzalvez second. I'll go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez? Ms. Gonzalez?
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yeah.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. Next, we have item 3C, approval of revised MPS committee memberships, and our Vice Chair, Dr. Yapanel, will present this item.
Hi, everyone. As we had some changes in the board membership, we also needed to update which committees the board member wants to serve. After a discussion with Mr. Mohamedov, he wanted to serve on three committees to be an active local board member. And those are Audit Facilities Committee, Finance Committee, and Governance Nominating Committee. In order to accommodate this change, I'm moving to alternate on the Audit Facilities Committee. So Mr. Mekam Mohamedov, with his audit and facilities expertise, could chair this committee. And Finance Committee, he's replacing Mr. Galdiev, since he already had a seat. In the Governance Committee, Ms. Gonzalez will basically go into alternate, and then Mr. Mohamed will take Ms. Gonzalez's seat in the committee. And his term began on April 24th, and his committee participation will begin after disapproval, basically. This allows... I'm sorry?
Discussion.
Well... We'll take public comments first. The board discusses any public comments on this item. Okay, board members.
Since I anticipate that we're going to have a rapid increase in at least two board positions, I'd like to move to table this until we have those members on our committee. We'll have a better sense of what we need on the board and what the strengths of the board members are.
I think having an active person on the committees will be helpful for us to be able to extend. This is something we should have brought actually along with appointment to the last meeting, but we missed it. So that's why it's coming to this meeting.
Normally we rebalance the committees in the summer, and I realize that we have a reason to want to do it, and I'd like to do it when we have all the board members that we can, so we have a better picture.
Can we at least partially assign people? Because I think we're going to be needing a board member in the finance committee. Because as of right now, since Mr. Geldy have left, we are only two people. And we're going to need a third person to serve.
I think that's a good idea. I'll accept that suggestion, and I want to serve on the committee as well as ex officio.
So for the finance committee, Rabbi Beliak, you're already an alternate, so it would just be replacing Mr. Geldiev's seat.
Fine. Okay.
Any other comments or questions?
I actually make another motion to approve the committee appointments as presented.
Okay,
I think we have to vote on each one at a time.
Yes.
I accept the suggestion by Sadar.
Okay, so give me one second. So, Dr. Yapon, are you making the motion to approve the motion as presented, which is the changes in the three committees, audit, finance, and governance?
Yes.
Do you have a second?
You're reading that, Emily?
I mean, we need the membership in the various the committees. So I second that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Orloff. I'll take votes on this motion. Rabbi Beliak.
Excuse me. I made a motion to table.
We'll take votes on both motions.
How can you take a motion to pass something and then make a motion to table?
There's two motions on the table. There are two motions on the table, so we need to see which one will carry.
But if you accept the committee's report as presented, then there's nothing to talk about in terms of tabling.
It may not pass.
Yes, that's the original motion.
I'm sorry. This is Let me dive in. Can you read the both motions?
Can I ask a question? Like with the motion, I guess in the board on track on the new assignments, like are there any people who is saying, hey, I'm not happy with the assignments, let's change it. I don't wanna be on that subcommittee. I think if that's the case, then yeah, in that case, we can say, hey, let's revisit that. And then in a later board meeting, let's assign it. But for example, for me, I say I'm on the academic committee, so I'm okay with that. So I'm not objecting for my assignment. But if the others are okay with theirs, then it should be fine. But if it is, then we can revisit next time.
No, I'm okay with my assignments.
I'm okay with mine.
I'm okay with mine. Yeah, I'm okay with mine too.
Okay, in that case, I move the motion to accept this as presented.
Okay, that motion was already in place. So that was Dr. Yapon made the motion, Mr. Orozov second. So Ms. Covarrubias asked me to read both motions. Is that correct, Ms. Covarrubias?
Yeah.
Okay,
so the one that's in place now, which is as presented, it would be for the audit committee, the changes would be Dr. Yapon, as the chair of this committee currently, will be replaced by Mr. Mohamedov and moved into an alternate, replacing Ms. Covarrubias. So Ms. Covarrubias is currently an alternate there, and she would no longer be an alternate for the audit committee, audit/facilities. Second is a finance committee change, and that's just Mr. Mohamedov is replacing Mr. Geldiev's seat, as that seat is open right now. And the last change is in the governance/nominating committee. Ms. Gonzalez will replace Ms. Covarrubias as an alternate. And Mr. Mohamedov will take Ms. Gonzalez's seat in the committee. That's as it currently stands. Any comments?
So what is Rabbi asking? The table and everything?
That we not simply make the nominating committee and committee of members that we need to have a broader nominating committee. The nominating committee, as far as I'm concerned, needs to function to broaden the board. And so that's the part of the thing that I am most objecting to. And so what I asked for was that this entire discussion be tabled. The entire discussion be tabled. There was a friendly motion, which I accepted, which was that we need, according to SEDAR, the expertise, financial expertise of our newest member. And that I said, okay, let's do that. Table it except for that one change. And then when we are finished with appointing the two, possibly four members, let's rebalance our committees in a way that will reflect the reality of the board.
But why don't we just, if that's the desire, why don't we revisit the committees at that point? Because, I mean, if there is a superior person to me, like who can serve in the finance committee, I'll be more than willing to step down from the finance committee. That person come in, I don't mind, or any other committee I'm serving on. But at this time, it's important to just fit or the people, the committees with the most fitting people, so that we can get the job done.
Absolutely. So let's take it one at a time. I'm happy to affirm the finance committee suggestion you made. Let's take it one at a time.
So Patrick, I think I just to confirm with Barbara, if Patrick, are you on the line?
I am, yes.
So then if the rabbi does just make another motion, or if he amends the motion by tabling it, what is the protocol, or what is the process? I know Barbara gave us her directive. Is that correct in terms of voting for both of them, or how would it work?
Well, if you're tabling something, you're tabling the whole thing. You can't table a portion of it and then pass a partial resolution on the rest of it. That's not typically done.
So the rabbi made a motion to table the item. Would they vote on his motion first before they vote on the original motion?
Yes.
Both should be voted upon, but if both were to be approved, they would be conflicting. And so I think at that point, neither would pass as a practical matter.
A motion to table precedes, is in front of everything else. Either it wins or it doesn't.
Correct. Yes.
But I think, doesn't it require a second? Your motion, does it require a second and then a vote?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'll
so the original motion got the second.
So I'll so someone second has the table. Second. I'll second.
Okay, so now there's a vote, right?
Yes.
Okay, can I make a suggestion? Can I make a comment here? We have a meeting on the 19th, and I would like to really, the purpose of actually bringing someone on board was to be able to get benefit from that person's expertise, right? We have a meeting on the 19th. Well, I don't know why we're discussing here. We can revisit this, composition of the committees whenever we want, but why are we not deciding on adding some person where we can benefit from that person? We can revisit it in the summer when we have new members, and I'm volunteering here. I can step down from the finance committee, and I think everybody is feeling the same way.
Okay, so say that, let me respond directly. I do not want the composition of the governing committee as it exists now or as it is being proposed. That's the main reason.
Then you can vote accordingly, Rabbi.
And so what I'm trying to do is, if we withdraw the report and toto, instead of trying to make it so that we have none of the benefit of the people that we are have on the board, then I would suggest that we just vote on one thing, and that is that we have somebody from the finance committee who's a new board member brought on.
So I think the original motion is the motion as second, so we should vote it.
So yeah, so Rabbi, from what Patrick explained, if you made a motion to table it Sandra seconded it, then I think the full board has to vote on your motion to table it to see if it passes. And if it doesn't, then I believe we would go back to the initial motion to vote on that one. Correct?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so we're voting on the motion to table it that was seconded by Ms. Covarrubias. Barbara, go ahead.
So I want to make it clear, who made the motion? Rabbi Beliak or Ms. Covarrubias?
Beliak, Rabbi, yeah.
Okay, Ms. Covarrubias, are you seconding?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, this is voting on tabling this item. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes, table.
Okay. Dr. Yapanel?
No.
Dr. Dikpash?
Can you come to me last, please?
Ms. Gonzalez?
I'm abstaining.
Rubias?
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to make sure I write these right. Mr. Rizal?
Okay, so the motion is to table it. So I can't vote yes for this because we need someone in the finance committee. I can't go with without any person. We have a discussion on the 19th.
Okay, what is your vote?
No. I mean, we can't table it, whatever that is. Is it yes or no? We can't.
No.
I need someone in the. Okay, so the vote is no.
Mr. Mohammedov?
No.
Okay. Dr. Dikpash?
It doesn't matter what I say, so.
You need to vote, Dr. Dikpash, please.
No, what is the situation right now?
We have 2 yes, 3 no, and 1 abstention.
I also abstain.
Patrick, I need your guidance because we don't have a majority. We have 2 abstentions, 3 no's, and 2 yes. How would that
The motion care? Doesn't pass. The motion doesn't pass. There's
Wait,
not
two
a majority.
Abstentions. What was it?
So 2 abstentions, 3 no's, and 2 yes.
It doesn't pass.
Patrick?
Yeah, Alfredo's correct.
Okay.
It doesn't pass. You go back to the original motion and you vote on that.
Okay, I'd like to propose another motion. I would like to make sure that we are supporting the Finance Committee. It's critical, and that the part of the report that was accepted for the Finance Committee be voted on.
Hold on, Rabbi, there is already a motion on the table with a second. We need to vote on it first. I already made the original motion. Serdar seconded it. So there is a motion on the table. We need to vote.
I'm making an amendment. We vote on the
I'm running out of time. I need to go after this action item. There's a dinner that we need to go all eat.
So Patrick.
Yes.
Patrick, can the rabbi make an amendment after he made a motion?
Well, I'm sorry. Who made the motions?
So there was a motion, obviously, to table it. It didn't pass. So from my understanding, we go back to the original motion
Correct.
That Dr. Yapanel made. And then the rabbi is saying that he wanted to make another amendment. But my understanding is that we would have to come back to the original motion and vote on it.
The original motion can be amended.
So then if the rabbi amends the motion, the original motion, he's able to do that without first having us vote on the original motion?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
But there is also a motion with a second on the table. So, yeah.
I think like 5 minutes ago, Barbara commented that, hey, there are two motions on the table. So we are going one by one. I guess first one, we voted. And then the second one, I guess we have to vote. If it passes, fine. If it doesn't, then we can have another motion and then we can go vote accordingly for that. To me, that makes more sense, but I don't know. I think, yeah, legal can comment on it.
You can vote on whether to accept the amendment.
Okay, so then, but just to be clear.
Hold on, there is already a motion on the table.
My point is,
the second from Sardar,
my point
so
is,
we need to vote on it first.
Yeah. Like, my point is, I think when this third item came in, Rabbi wanted to table it, and then Ümit wanted to move the motion, and Sarkar seconded. Barbara said there are two motions on the table. And then I think comment was made, we have to go one by one. I think we went with the first one, and right now I think we have to go with the second one. If it doesn't, then right now it seems after the first motion gone, right now we have two motions on the table also. It just becomes, which one do we vote first?
Yes. Yeah, that's why I did ask Patrick that, from my understanding, since the rabbi's motion did not pass, that we would go back to the original motion. And I was asking
him. Yeah, this is Patrick. And again, I'm sorry. So there were two motions made. You're correct, Alfredo. You're correct. The second motion, since that resolution has already been moved, that one needs to be voted on.
Okay. Excuse me. An amendment needs to be voted on before the main motion. You have to vote the amendment, and you have to vote. And the amendment may change the nature of the original thing. Look, there's another way to do this, and that is that we can vote to send this back to committee for further discussion.
Patrick, you're going to have to clarify.
I move that motion.
To take it back to the committee?
It seems there are some disagreements. It seems it came in front of the board prematurely. I think this is the way I'm seeing. It seems Rabbi or some members have disagreement on one part. We can either say, hey, only on these subcommittees, let's keep it as before. And for the new ones, let's accept like the finance. It's apparently we need change. And for other committees, I don't know the exact situation. What is the previous? What is the new one? So I guess whatever committee we are having disagreement, we can just say exclude this one and vote on the others. That way we are not
impacting the finance. Whatever we do, I would like to have someone in the finance committee. And that someone I think should be Mikhan, because that's the entire purpose why we brought him on.
Okay.
And we have a meeting on the 19th, and we have extensive discussions to have in front of us. And I think we need to have someone. Whatever we're doing today, I would like to at least take care of that part.
Okay. Do we have urgency in other subcommittees also? If not, then I'll move the motion to accept it all and other parts to be discussed and then broken. And there you go. There's another motion on the table.
I think I'm respectful of everyone's opinion, and but I do want us to follow Robert's rules of order in terms of if there was an initial motion, right, and then there was an alternative motion, and the alternative motion did get a second, and that was voted on and it didn't pass. My understanding, again, is it would go back to the original motion. And that's not obviously to say that everything is being said. So I think that is what I understand. And that's why I checked with Patrick to see if that was correct. because even if an amendment wants to, if someone wants to make an amendment as the rabbi is doing, or someone wants to do another motion, I still think we have to follow those orders. So I would say that we would have to go back to the original motion.
Okay, I guess in that case, let's vote for the motion Ümit made and Serdar seconded, and then let's see how it goes. And based on that, we will see if we need another motion or not.
This is Patrick again, sorry to interrupt. So according to the Roberts Rules of Order, after the question has been stated by the chair, although the assembly and not the maker of the motion then has control over its wording, the maker can request unanimous consent to modify the motion. If any member then objects, however, the desired modification must be introduced in the form of motion to amend.
So what does it mean?
It means that we have to consider, do we have a unanimous consent to amend to, will the chair, Ümit, accept the fact that there's a desire to amend the motion.
Okay, whatever we're doing, can we please act, act on it?
Patrick, can you explain that in simpler terms, in terms of the sequence that we just went through with the second motion that was made by the rabbi versus the original motion made by Ümit? Can you explain that?
Okay, well, typically what you would do is you would actually propose the motion at the outset, then discussion, and then it's somebody moves to have it approved, and then it's seconded, then there's discussion. And then at that point, typically that's when you have you can propose amendments to it. So I think the vote would be to approve as amended, or to approve as originally drafted.
Okay. So then, if the rabbi wants to amend it, he would have to get a second, and then it would be voted. And if that didn't pass, then it would go to the original motion.
Yes.
Okay. So, Rabbi, what is your amendment to the resolution?
My amendment to the resolution is that we focus only on the needs of the finance committee, since that is what is being expressed as a need, and we have the ability to meet the need.
Mm-hmm. So I can read off the amended motion. It would be to add Mr. Mohammadov to the finance committee to fill in former board member's seat. Correct, Rabbi?
All right. Yes, that's good.
Okay, that's
and
a
no other changes to any other committee, right?
And again? I can add that, actually, I can add that here. So former board member's seat, and we could say, and make further changes to committee at a future meeting.
Yeah.
I accept that.
Yeah, I second the motion. Let's get it done, please.
Okay, Mr. Orzov second. I'll go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Belia?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
No.
Dr. Dikbash?
Can you come to me last, please?
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Mr. Mohammadov?
No.
Dr. Dikbash?
It seems it doesn't matter what I vote.
What is your vote?
But I'll vote yes. Yes.
Thank you. So we have 5 yes, 2 no. So the amended motion to add only to the finance committee is approved. Thank you. Okay, the next item is approval of the CEO metrics and evaluation measures. Rabbi Belia, do you have something to report?
We are working on that, and we plan to have a report for June 1.
Okay, so this item is being tabled. That is the end of our action items. We'll move on to our information and discussion items. Item 4A, progress on meeting local performance indicators on the California school dashboard. Mr. Yomas, our Chief Accountability Officer, will present.
Good evening, board members. This is a required item that we bring to the board around May as part of our LCAP development process. So what this item is, schools, the reflections on the local indicators in five areas, including basic services such as facilities, teacher vacancies, implementation of academic standards, parent and family engagement, school climate, especially what students think about the school climate, and access to courses. So we ask each school to write a reflection to be presented to the board. And I'm going to invite two principals to briefly give you an update with a focus on parent and family engagement. So I'm going to ask Mr. Sears from San Diego, and followed by Ms. Daniel from MSA 3. Gökhan, are you on the line?
Hi, board members and public. This is Principal Sears from MSA San Diego. And as part of the local indicator process, there are a couple of things that we looked into. There's, you know, from the curriculum access to the courses that we offer and the elective classes that we offer, to student engagement, all the way to parent and community engagement. And one of the big highlights that actually I'm not going to take long time, but the biggest highlight I think we have is the climate at our school, that with the move, you know, we pretty much started not from scratch maybe, but it was close to that. So we had huge change in demographics and, you know, a new community. But as of this year, based on the survey results and all the meetings that we hold and the parent involvement on our campus on a day-to-day basis, it shows that we have a huge improvement, not only in, you know, the student approval, but also parent approval and engagement. So this year, when we did the self-reflection, we actually increased our rate for certain areas, especially for parent and staff awareness and being part of the decision-making process. And we are really proud that our PTF, Parent Task Force and Local Governance Committee, I want to thank Mr. Orozo and Dr. Dikbash for being part of the committee, that they're really involved, and we have a really active PTF. Even with distance learning, they are working hard to make sure that all of our communities engaged. So this is pretty much the general update that I would like to share. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Are there questions on the San Diego portion of this discussion?
Any public comments before the board discusses? Okay, I believe there's another presenter, Mr. Yomas.
Yes. Ms. Daniel, are you on the line?
I am here. Good afternoon. Good evening, I should say, at this point. So for parent engagement, it's very important that our parents are able to participate, and particularly at MSA 3 and other schools, we have a lot of parents who are involved civically. With our parents, they love to go to City Hall, City Council. They meet with board members. As long as they have like a purpose and a plan, they don't mind volunteering and coming through and doing what's necessary for the school. We have parents who come and they clean the school, help with that. They help with resources. They adopt classrooms, and they're able to help with additional supplies. So it's very important at the beginning of the year to get parents to volunteer and sign up to volunteer, and then that way utilize them throughout the school year. Our parents love School Site Council. They love having ELAC. They love coffee with the admin on a weekly basis. And through this process, while we're doing distance learning, our parents were very happy with how fast MPS responded with distance learning, how they praised our teachers and our administrators who are calling and checking on students on a regular basis. And they're very appreciative. They thank us when we send progress reports, when we give them updates. And we've been doing a lot of Spirit Week challenges with the students. And they appreciate that as well, because they know that we're checking in on the students, helping them, and it gives them someone to support to help raise the kids, especially during this time.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel.
Any comments from the public? I would like to say, with regard to both the reports, this is Rabbi Chaim. This made for very important reading for us, for me anyway, and I appreciate the work that obviously went into this. I'm aware of the fact that we're in a situation where it's hard to get feedback because people are not coming to the school in the normal way that they do. Doesn't it make sense in this time to have some town meetings, again, using Zoom? Is that helpful or is that likely to be unhelpful? I'd like to hear from each of the presenters.
Hi, this is Rabbi Belyak. This is Principal Sears. With the distance learning, actually, we increased the amount of parent meetings. And I have, every Thursday, I have a coffee with principal meeting with our current parents. And we started including workshops. So far, we had Let's Talk About Vaping workshop that I presented. San Diego Police Foundation joined me. And we did internet safety security presentation as part of the coffee with principal meeting with parents. And today, actually, we had a presentation about autism with one of our teachers. So also for our prospective parents who are really anxious about this current situation, we also have weekly informational meetings and coffee with principal meetings. And based on the feedback that we receive from the parents, they really enjoy joining us and they appreciate that we are giving them weekly updates. And I want to highlight one more time that with the help of distance learning, I mean, you know, we have a silver lining here that many parents are at home. So we have actually a higher number of participation in our, we call them coffee with principals meeting, but we can call them town hall meetings or round table meetings. But we have a really good participation. The participation changes from 20 to sometimes 60 participants from the parents.
Very impressive. Thank you.
And I would add to that, it's very important for those either town hall meetings or whatever we want to call them, for parents to be able to connect on Zoom, ask any questions that they may have, and just be an ear or a shoulder for the parents right now, especially with everything that they have going on. They do feel that there's engagement and they're confident in their children completing the assignments, the ones who are very much engaged. And especially with our transition plan for MSA3, it's going to be vital that those meetings are held on a regular and consistent basis. And we have a plan for that in place to get started.
Thank you. Thank you. Another question that's sort of just of interest to me. I know that a lot of kids are home and that there's pressures on the parents and so forth. Frankly, I wouldn't know how to organize what you guys are doing. And I'm just impressed with everybody trying to do what they can, especially since I understand that you're all working now a little bit at the school, but mostly at home. And so you have your own lives that you're trying to manage as well. And just my gratitude for the work you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is anything else, Mr. Yilmaz?
No, I just want to thank both of the principals. And, you know, the LTIP is delayed until December 15. So all this feedback is going to feed into the school's upcoming LTIP. The next accountability item will be in June. The board will receive a written report from the schools. It's called COVID-19 Operations Report, which will detail, you know, how schools are handling distance learning, meal distributions, you know, equity for students with special needs. All of those will be covered in June. So that's all for now.
Thank you, Mr. Yilmaz. Our next item is 4B, Academic Update. Our Chief Academic Officer, Mr. Ajar, will present.
I just said one thing before going to 4B. I'm going to a lunch grab and go, I think it's called, next week. And if board members are able to do that, I think just our physical presence, you know, wear, of course, the masks and the gloves and everything, but just being there on site, I think, is symbolically very important. And I've been meaning to do it, and so now I'm scheduled for Wednesday, but I would like to invite my other board compadres to join me.
Yeah. I'll be more than happy to be there, Rabbi.
Thank you for that. Okay, moving back to our academic update, Mr. Ajar.
Yes. Good evening again, board members, my peers, and attendees on the line. I'll be giving a brief updates with regards to the instruction and academics in our schools and worldwide. As we start this week, this marks our second month of our distance learning programs. Again, distance learning in Magnolia Public Schools include both virtual and non-virtual means of providing high quality and standards-based instruction in our schools. Since our last meeting in April, we distributed hotspots to our students in need for internet access to our distance learning programs. So this was a big barrier for many of our kids. We're glad that this excuse is no more in existence in our schools. I can also proudly report that our wonderful teachers, whom we celebrated their appreciation week to the extent possible virtually last week, they continue to offer lessons and activities using our distance learning programs, our digital curricula, in Google Classrooms and in other platforms. They communicate their weekly plans on the portal that we specifically prepared for this purpose. They do live Zoom and Google Meet sessions, provide daily check-ins, track and report engagement options twice weekly. They provide office hours and contact parents and students in need of immediate support and interventions. We are also very proud that amidst of all of these challenges, we continue with our special education and student services to the best of our ability, you know, by conducting virtual IEP meetings, our SPEC teachers joining classes in supporting the Gen Ed teachers and following up with students' goals and progress. We also continue our related services such as counseling and speech therapy with our vendors online. In terms of the academic progress, we just finished the marking period and communicated the report cards with our students and families that will give feedback and update in terms of where our grading will be ending up in terms of closing the semester. We're also trying to get the pulse of our students and families. Recently, we conducted a family engagement survey with for all of our parents regarding their experience with our distance learning program. Although they all prefer in-person instruction, many understand the challenges we go through and experience their satisfaction with our efforts in providing continuity in education, conducting live and interactive classrooms, reaching out to students for check-ins and updating them with our communications. We'll continue doing the same feedback mechanisms for our students and teachers as well, so we know how to proceed in case we need to continue doing same programs in the upcoming months. It's college acceptances season, so we continue getting great news in terms of the acceptances. We compiled a preliminary list. Some of the UCs and CSUs, they extended their deadline for acceptances until June 1st. We're waiting to finalize our list by then. As we updated you in the beginning of the session, we are planning for graduations and senior activities. Noting that many of our schools, they want to hold in-person graduation sometime later the year. One big project ahead of us is the summer school. With a clear picture right now of no opening of our campuses in the near future, we are preparing for virtual summer schools, and then we're informing our parents and students on the enrollment and course offerings. So that's coming. Aside from distance learning activities and instruction, we're again proud that our daily mail distributions in our school sites continue. In addition to, we provide food distributions in school sites such as San Ana. We partnered with a program called One Family LA, and we are providing in-kind donations about 110 families all across Magnolia. To support large families, they get $500. Smaller ones, they get $250. We would like to stay tuned for the upcoming second edition of the Magnolia Meet newsletter on the May 29th. We'll be emailing that to you with our highlights, what we have been so far in terms of the distance learning programs and the programs going on in our schools. One other happy news is that we're happy to announce that we are getting a $20,000 grant for our school MSA 1 from Walt.
Any public comments on the academic update?
Who gave us the $20,000?
I'm sorry?
Who gave us the $20,000?
I think we lost her, Dinge. It was the Walton Family Foundation. Because of COVID-19 and some of the financial impacts that we've experienced, Ismael Soto, our Director of Development and Communications, he was able to identify this funding source, and he was able to apply on behalf of MSA1. And good news that we were able to receive $20,000 to be able to support our school, specifically with recruitment of students and also professional development of teachers.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from our board members? Okay, thank you. We're gonna have next 4C, my on contract continuation and extension by Ms. Katie Mann.
Good evening, board and Magnolia colleagues. This is an informational item regarding MION, which is the reading program adopted by eight of our Magnolia schools, MSA 1 through 6, as well as MSA Bell and MSA Santa Ana participate in the My Own Reading program. We have had a 3-year contract with their platform, providing online digital library access for our students. And that initial contract is up at the end of this academic school year. So we have worked with the publishers as well as gotten quite a bit of stakeholder feedback, and we'll be renewing the program for the 2020-2021 school year with some changes to the subscriptions at each school site in order to better serve our student populations. It will be a 1-year contract, so we will revisit again next spring. There is a budget implication. You have the numbers there. I can be more specific if you'd like, but that cost is included in each school's budget based on the selections that they have made for their reading program. I do just want to give a little bit of background about MyOn. Again, as I said, it's an online digital reading platform. Because the majority of our school sites do not have robust school libraries, a lot of our students, due to their socioeconomic status, also may not have access to public libraries. So we really need a platform like this where texts are available at a variety of Lexile levels that students can access online at any time. They're also able to download books to read offline, which is a really nice feature of the MyOn program. I know many of our students are still using it now during distance learning, which is fantastic. MyOn also provides us the ability to regularly assess and measure our students' Lexile levels so that we can target interventions and track growth over time. And as you all know, Lexile growth is our NPS goal number 5. So this program helps support our assessment and monitoring of school success in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mann. Any comments from the public? Comments or questions from our board?
Do we have a sense of, are there competitions? Like when I was in school, we used to have this thing where, you know, if you read 5 books, you got something, a little prize, and 10 books, you got a slice of pizza or something like that. Do we have anything like that going on to encourage reading? I'm just curious.
That's a really good question. Thank you for asking. Some of our schools have done incentive programs like that in the past. It is on a school by school and sometimes even a teacher by teacher basis. We also have many participants at our schools in programs offered by teams like the LA Clippers have a Read to Achieve program where they have students track minutes and pages read. And we've actually had several students and teachers get to earn NBA basketball tickets and go onto the court and be recognized for reading in that way as well.
So that NBA thing sounds really good. Where do I sign up?
Sorry, I think you cut off of 8th grade.
Oh, too bad.
Sister, I think I heard you.
I was going to actually pretty much add similar things. I just thought that it was a question for the school. So, yes, we have programs and students submit their reading logs, and we partner with our local library and also local organizations. They provide gift cards to our students.
I wanted to ask you, are you not using MyOn? Because I don't see your school here.
Actually, we do not use MyOn right now. Instead, we are using Read Theory, which is a different version. It's free. And we also have a library on our campus. But our parents donated a lot of money and books, so we are utilizing the library and the Read Theory program, which does the Lakeside level component and differentiates the reading for students.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Ms. Covarrubias, since you asked about MSA San Diego, I also just wanted to add that MSA 7, our elementary school, they participate in the Accelerated Reader Program, which is a sister program to MyOn. It's also part of the Renaissance umbrella. They also have a library on their campus that allows students to check out books. and their Lexile measures are measured through that program as well.
Yeah, I had been at their library, and it's adorable how they fixed it up with the parents and the students.
It really is.
It's really cute.
For the older kids, is there ever an opportunity for them to sort of meet some of the authors and get, I don't know, some books that become a focus? And we have so many authors in the Los Angeles area or now on Zoom, available on Zoom. It'd be wonderful to have our kids learn how to relate to the authors after they do the reading. I don't know if that's already being done, and I'm just making a suggestion that's superfluous.
That's a wonderful suggestion, and definitely something that I can look into more as an option for our students, both virtually and in person.
Thank you, Ms. Mann. Next, if no other comments. Okay, thank you. We have our enrollment update by Mr. Soto.
Hi, good evening, Bengali board members, colleagues, and members of the community. This is Mr. Soto, Director of Development and Communications. Good to be here with you tonight. I'm here to present the enrollment update through May 2020. This is information item only. No action item is required. So the following enrollment data was pulled directly from our student enrollment dashboard system, SchoolMint, as of May 1st, 2020. This system obviously delivers all of our information across all of our 10 MPS schools. The target enrollment for 2020-2021 was established in collaboration with each Magnolia school site leader and the home office, and that number is 4,041 students. As of May 2020, that's a typo on my end, enrollments needed to reach that goal are 710 additional students across all Magnolia Science Academies. So a school-by-school breakdown is demonstrated in the graph below in your report. It's titled 2020-21 New Packet Counts and Target Enrollments. It was created by Lydia Vega, our Executive Office Manager, who is on the line to answer any questions specific to this graph and or to SchoolMint, and is obviously a valued member of the Magnolia Accountability Team, who is really in line, again, on the line for any kind of questions in terms of a school-by-school breakdown, et cetera. So the updated information after the creating of this report was provided by Lydiette. So this is after May 1st, and I have a couple of items that are not in your report. So we have been receiving new applications in SchoolMint through for all MSAs. And from weeks 412 to 418, 8 new ones, 419 to 425, 10. So you'll see a pattern, 426 through May 2nd, 22 new applications org-wide. May 3rd through May 9th, 30 new applications. May 10th through May 16th, 29 new applications. So these updates do not include MSA San Diego and 5. However, MSA San Diego shows 3 new applications in the SchoolMint system since last week, and MSA 5 shows 6 new applications last week and 2 new applications just this week. So I'd like to draw your attention to the graph titled, again, 2020-2021 New Packets. More specifically, the blue highlighted sections titled Packets Received and Packets Received 2019-2020. Here you'll see the comparison of last year's numbers to date and our current status. The next section I want to draw your attention to is Enrollments Needed, highlighted in yellow. The enrollments needed equal the number of enrollments needed after subtracting returning students and packets received from target enrollments. Please note that the returning students calculation is located in a separate data sheet that is housed in an accountability portal. So what does this mean in terms of proactive measures, and what are we doing to really kind of increase these numbers? So some proactive measures that our Magnolia Accountability Team is moving forward is really looking to create like purposeful and efficient collaboration between not just the home office, but also our school site office managers is really key to this process. It's a process that we ignited last year as part of the Parent and Community Engagement Program in collaboration with the Accountability Department. So again, Lydia Vega is leading that effort as our Executive Office Manager and tracks all of our enrollment with each office manager as this information is placed and has put together the following measures to ensure that there is clear communication. One, office managers check-in calls every Friday morning to track application and enrollment. Two, office managers will subsequently do the following: contact applicants and offer enrollments, coordinate enrollment packets and pick up mailing, track the submission of forms, move families from applying through the completed registration process. The office managers will also provide updates every Friday on the specific enrollment to this portal in the accountability department that tracks all enrollment, applicants, and lotteries. And lastly, our executive office manager, Lydia, presents these numbers every Monday during a standing Monday leadership call with all MPS home office and MSA leadership teams, including principals and deans. So that's really important to make sure that we have this really clear communication pathway. In terms of current enrollment and marketing approaches, so even though we are currently running various enrollment marketing campaigns, which you've heard me present on before, including digital methods, Facebook ads, email marketing, and even some traditional methods like direct mail postcards, we are still at a disadvantage. We do not have the marketing dollars to really have a comprehensive marketing campaign, nor do we have the internal capacity to manage all aspects of these campaigns. So thus, we conducted a request for proposals or an RFP to solicit an established contract with a marketing agency partner with really deep knowledge of charter school sector and who will drive our enrollment marketing efforts at Magnolia through a series of individualized campaigns. And that's really key, is the individualized piece of it. And I'll get to that in a bit later. So through a vetting process, we have that included a review committee consisting of myself, a school site parent and community engagement coordinator, and also an MSA principal. A winning bid was identified, and that was Charter School Capital's enrollment marketing team. So CSC enrollment marketing core team consists of a chief growth officer who leads sponsor strategy, branding, and story arcs. The story arcs are created through a series of interviews with each principal, MSA principal that is, and this really creates like a specific narrative that will drive each school's campaign. I also have their chief growth officer, Jenna Johnson, on the line if you have any specific questions about her and her team and the processes that they imply will be implementing at Magnolia. A project manager and website technologist, a team member leading media advertising, one specific to media, social media and content. And then lastly, a member that is in charge of search engine optimization, something that we know very well at Magnolia in terms of making sure that we land really high on those Google searches. I want to make one thing really clear. Digital is critical in this remote learning era, and we're in a new era of marketing. And now that we're venturing into this, well into this pandemic and everything is done electronically, we're going to have to really need to understand our target recipients and not just the messaging, but how they receive it. And what's really important is what we say. And that narrative is really important when we develop those story arcs with those principals. The CSC team prioritizes a couple of things. They include enrollment strategy and objectives with each MSA. Updates to our new Magnolia websites. I'm hoping that you all have had a chance to take a look at those, really to drive more traffic to our sites and really explore what Magnolias are really all about. Search engine optimization to strengthen our presence on search engines such as Google, Yahoo, Bing, paid advertising, social media management with our internal comms team, including our communications manager, Talia Velasquez. Directory listings, local search rankings, such as places as greatschools.org, email marketing, design services, which is really key against a capacity issue, and of course, project management. So the marketing leads are gonna be myself. I'll be the direct contact with CSC's Chief Growth Officer, Jenna Johnson, at the Magnolia Home Office, and I will act as a liaison and support structure for all MSAs. The time frame we're looking at, and of course, after speaking with certain MSA principals, actually most, we aim to start services with CSC as early as June 15th, 2020. However, it's important to note that since CSC is individualizing each MSA site's campaign, start dates and engagement windows will vary. I have spoken with various principals, and again, some of them have different priorities. We are categorizing them in terms of tiers, tier one being the highest need, tier two being more moderate. And depending on what tier they fall in, we would recommend specific time windows for engagement. One example of an engagement window is a campaign they would run, for example, from February through April with a focus on what CSC calls their peak planner parents, whereas a different MSA might have to choose an engagement window such as June 15th through October 3rd through Census Day. It depends on their need. It depends on the school's individual story arc and narrative. And lastly, implementation will be will need to be on a timely basis so that we can use them for registration and re-registration for the 2020-2021 and 21-22 academic school year. So that would conclude my enrollment update. Thank you for your time. I'm here to answer any questions. And again, I do have Janet Johnson from Charter School Capital on the line, their Chief Growth Officer, and I also have Lydia Vega, our Executive Office Manager from the Accountability Team at Magnolia's Home Office. So thank you for that.
Any comments for the public? Okay, board members? Okay, if there are no comments or questions, thank you, Ismael. Next, we have our facilities update, Mr. Patrick Contiveros.
Hi, everybody. This is Patrick. So my updates will be quick. You should have received a written report from me. It followed the original packet. My apologies for getting it to you late. Here we go. So right now we're working on disinfecting our facility, our campuses that are on private facilities, MSA 1, MSA 6, MSA 7, MSA Santa Ana, and MSA San Diego. We're getting them deep cleaned and disinfected by third-party vendors. And we are going to make sure that our custodial staff are trained in proper cleaning practices. So that is ongoing. Today I learned that the California Energy Commission at its meeting yesterday approved an extension of the Prop 39 program. What that means is we have at least one project, the HVAC replacement at MSA 2, that was put on hold because of the school closures. So this will allow us to move forward with that at a reasonable pace and not be worried that we're going to miss our deadline. So I'm very pleased to report that. I'll go to each school individually. MSA 1, so all work at this point has been completed. That includes one lingering punch list item, which was the installation of the treads in the staircases that was completed. So right now, all we're doing is waiting for issuance of the final certificate of occupancy, which I heard from the inspector today. He told me to connect with him again early next week. So I don't expect that he will have anything further. I expect that he will issue the certificate of occupancy. And at that point, we will then make our final payments to our vendors, including Altman's. We had been holding off on this last payment just to ensure that nothing came up at the last minute. We are still in talks with the city to sell them a strip of land, you know, on the parcel, which is adjacent to their parcel. As you know, or as I've reported previously, they are planning on building an ice and skating rink on their parcel. And so they need the extra land so that they can build a one story as opposed to a two story, which would be more expensive to build. We're still waiting on an appraisal from a vendor that we contracted with. We do have a site plan that was prepared by architects, so we have an idea of what our parking spaces will look like if and when the sale is consummated. And obviously, as we gather more information, we'll return to the board with further updates and recommended courses of action. Okay, so that's MSA 1. MSA 2, I just mentioned that the HVAC project had been put on hold as a result of the pandemic. So we will hopefully move forward with that fairly soon. On MSA 3, we accepted LAUSD's Prop 39 offer for co-location. We are in the process of completing our lighting project, our Prop 39 lighting project there. So that is in progress. At MSA 4, we accepted LAUSD's Prop 39 offer. As far as our Prop 39 grant is concerned, we had put this one as kind of a last priority. We wanted to get the schools that we know we were gonna stay at done first. But since we have this extra time now, we're gonna be there at least another year, it doesn't make sense to move forward with this to provide a better learning environment for our students. MSA 5, pretty much same thing. We accepted LAUSD's Prop 39 offer. As far as Prop 39 energy efficiency is concerned, our LED lighting project is in process and actually may be completed at this point. It wasn't a large project. I'm waiting for a report back from First Note Finance, who is handling that. Let's see, MSA 6, the only thing I have to report there really is that all our Prop 39 energy efficiency projects have been completed there. Same for MSA 7. At MSA 8, the LED Prop 39 energy efficiency grant lighting project is actually in process. So, I will report on that, hopefully that it's completed at the next board meeting. For moving on to MSA San Diego, our closeout was sidelined because of the pandemic and the school closures. I'm trying to get that back on track, hopefully with the help of our independent contractor. There really isn't much to be done there other than, I think, following up with architects and the inspectors and ultimately getting our inspector of record to sign off. We also did get approval from the lender, the bondholder for the 2017 bond to use monies from the repair and replacement fund to make some repairs to the restrooms, to some of the classrooms. So that's all good news. Finally, MSA Santa Ana, again, at the start of the pandemic, before the school closures, we had been looking at various capital improvement projects. Obviously they were halted due to the coronavirus, but now we are revisiting those. In particular, we are moving forward with working with the city to install school signage in the public right-of-way in front of the school, so it's not such a treacherous area in front of our schools. So that's my report. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments from our public? Thank you. Any comments or questions from our board?
How much will the finish of the job in San Diego cost us? How much time will it take?
Well, as far as dollars, as far as all the improvements have been made. There was some ADA signage issues that have been remedied. So
So right now, it's really a matter of getting the architect and the inspectors to focus on this and get their sign-off. So as far as remaining costs and fees, I would say there may be some architect costs, probably not a lot, because I think they're almost completely paid out. The inspector of record will most likely have an invoice. I don't expect it to be very much. And then finally, if there are any remaining DSA fees, we might have those to contend with. But we won't really know that until we get all our paperwork submitted, which is contingent on getting the architect and the inspector of record to agree to sign off.
Question about sanitizing and cleaning.
Yes.
If we sanitize something today, is that sanitized for a while, or do we have to go back and sanitize it before we can use it again? I mean, I don't know exactly the procedure for public venues.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you want to make sure that we are doing a thorough and deep cleaning of our facilities. It's true that, you know, nobody's been in these spaces, but it's also possible that people have gone into classrooms and touched surfaces. So to be absolutely sure, we are going to do a deep clean, which includes, cleaning high touch places. We're going to be using electrostatic guns to disperse disinfectant. So that will take care of it. Then the idea is once a classroom is completed, what we're going to do is we're going to put a seal on the door, so that nobody's going to enter it, or if they do enter it, we know that somebody went in that space. Going forward, we're going to have to make sure that our cleaning crews are, well-versed in the proper cleaning procedures so that they, for example, don't cross-contaminate areas. So it's going to be a one-time thing followed by more rigorous cleaning on the part of our cleaning crews, or, if for some reason they're not up to the task, we would have to look at outside vendors to do that. We're also looking at specialized equipment, devices that we might be able to use with our cleaning crews to aid them in our continuing effort to keep our campuses clean. We're also just making sure that our HVAC systems are fully up to date and aren't lacking any maintenance, because I think that will be key to making sure that we have healthy environments for our kids to learn in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, if there are no other comments or questions, that is the end of our meeting. Rabbi Bella, you can adjourn. It is 9:06 p.m.
I would like to thank everybody for their patience. I know this was a longer meeting than we would like to have. I'd also like to wish everyone Ramadan Kareem, and wish everyone stay safe, please.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.